Clifford Stewart sent his parents a new microwave oven one Christmas, and they were excited about this new addition to their technological world. When Clifford's dad unpacked and plugged it in, however, two smiles were turned into two frowns within seconds. Even after reading all of the directions carefully, they couldn't figure out how to make the thing work. A couple of days later, Clifford's mom was playing cards with a friend and confessed her inability to get that microwave oven even to boil some water. She said, "I really don't need directions to get this darn thing to work. I just need my son to come along with the gift." Aren't you grateful this morning that when God sent the gift of salvation, He didn't send a booklet of complicated instructions. He sent His Son. God wishes to be known as Father more than in any other way. And it's Jesus, His Son, who reveals what kind of Father God is like. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah, a prophet who lived some 800 years before Jesus was born, seemed to be getting at this very point. And instead of reading the scripture that we've been looking at now for, this is our third week, I'd like you to say it with me in unison as it shows up on the screen. So would you please say with me Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So what child is this? Isaiah provides four names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it's that third name that I want to explore with you for just a few minutes this morning. What does that name tell us about God? Well, first of all, it means that God wants you to know Him deeply as your Father. Did you know that God is rarely called Father in the Old Testament? He sometimes is referred to as Father sort of as the creator of Israel or the leader of the nation. For instance, the Bible says this, "But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." There are a few passages in the Old Testament, but just a few, that suggest that you can know God as your Father in a deeply personal sense. So where did this idea of God being our Heavenly Father come from? It came from Jesus. Jesus always referred to God as my Father. And those who heard Jesus were shocked by it. No one ever called God my Father. It sounded disrespectful. It seemed to lack in proper reverence. But Jesus took it even a step further. He called God Abba, which in the language he spoke, Aramaic, meant daddy, papa. It was the word little Jewish kids in Jesus' day used to address their earthly human fathers. And Jesus didn't call Abba in just his own secluded personal prayer time alone with God. Apparently he spoke to anyone about God. He called him Abba. My daddy, my papa. It was disconcerting. It was uncomfortable. It was even more troubling to know that Jesus encouraged his followers to think of and speak to God in the same way. On the night that Jesus was betrayed by Judas and the whole drama of the cross was about to begin, Jesus made one of those crystal clear statements about how he is the exclusive way or pathway to a relationship with God. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And one of the disciples, Philip, fails to see the implication in Jesus' words. And he says, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. In other words, oh yeah, the Father. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Jesus, to actually see God the Father? Wouldn't it be cool if we could get this awesome manifestation of Almighty God as they did way back in Old Testament times? So Jesus has to get even more explicit with Philip. He says, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So what's important about all this? What difference does it make in your life and mine? Well, it underlines the fact that the Almighty God of the universe wants to have a personal, intimate, first name relationship with you today, tomorrow, forever. People want to think of God in a variety of ways, but they often ignore the way that God wants to be known. And God wants to be known as Father because it satisfies an essential human need. What's the need? You need to be known, loved, and completely secure in a Father's love forever. God the Father knows your name. God the Father made you absolutely unique and special. And this Father God wants to have an eternal relationship with you. And yes, you're going to have disappointments and problems here on earth, but your future is both wonderful and it is secure if God is your Father. If he was ever your Father, he will always be your Father. No one and nothing can separate you from his care. There will never come a time when he will stop treating you as his beloved child. His name is Everlasting Father. Now, that meets a need in my life. How about you? You know, sometimes professional theologians come up with all these alternative names for God. Paul Tillich, a 20th century theologian, liked to refer to God as the ground of being. Wow, doesn't that give you a warm feeling inside? The ground of being. And others like to depict God as some kind of impersonal spiritual energy force. Still others want to convince you that you yourself are just a part of God if you just looked at it the right way. And none of that meets any need in your life or mine. Here's what the Bible says. You received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. And you're invited to enter into that kind of relationship with the God of the universe. God isn't satisfied with anything less, anything else. Neither should you be. His name is Everlasting Father. Now, when God is your Father, he also exercises loving authority and discipline in your life and mine. Listen again to what God's Word says. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his children. Whoever heard of a child who's never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us. so that we might share in his holiness. Folks, here's something I've learned from my own personal experience. There are times when we prefer to keep God at a distance. And as long as God can be something other than Father, the Almighty, the ground of all being, the supreme ruler of the universe, whatever, it's possible to make him just this object to think about and talk about occasionally rather than this person that you love and that you obey and that you relate to each day of your life. If God is your Father, it raises all sorts of issues. Fathers spank your bottom when you break the rules. Fathers get in your face when you're doing something wrong. Fathers have a way of making life miserable until you submit to their authority. And just like we resist our earthly fathers on occasion, we resist our heavenly Father at times. We'd rather go our own way and do our own thing. And here's what you and I need to remember about God. He loves you with more tenderness, more affection, more passion than any earthly father ever loved his child. Here's what the Bible says. Then this is a great verse. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. By the same token, friends, no one can spank you quite like your heavenly Father. No one can get in your face quite like God can. No one has more ways, infinite ways, to get you to submit to his authority or get you to go his way in life for your own good than God the Father. How does the Bible put it? At that time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. You remember that phrase? You don't hear as much now. Remember that phrase, tough love? That pretty well sums up God's kind of love. God is love, but he's also tough. He doesn't put up with nonsense from you and me. And you and I need a God like that. You and I need a Father like that. His name is Everlasting Father. Well, what else does this name tell us about God? Well, quickly and secondly, it means that God wants you to experience him eternally as Father. You know what has been one of the devil's most effective strategies? He's been successful in making the idea of father, dad, papa, something negative rather than positive for many people in our world. Father was the one who beat you up. Dad was the one who took advantage of you sexually. Papa was the one who abandoned you physically or emotionally. Father was the one who ridiculed you. Dad was the one who made you feel like you never measured up. Papa was a tyrant. Or maybe father was like a warped Santa Claus. Weak, spineless, inconsistent, overly indulgent. Does your earthly father fall somewhere in that description? And if so, when you hear me talking about God being Father, you might feel more like cringing rather than celebrating today. And I want to suggest humbly and sincerely that the Holy Spirit may need to heal your heart and your mind on that issue. Why? Because you were designed, my friend, to need a Father. We all need a Father. And if your earthly father failed you miserably or he just wasn't there for whatever reason, you need a heavenly father even more. There's an enormous unmet need in your life that only God the Father can meet. Let me remind you of some ways that God is a father, an everlasting father. As an everlasting father, God is eternally accepting of you and me. God sought you out before you sought him. Despite all your sins and failures, when you put your trust in Jesus, he adopted you into his family. You will forever be an object of his love and grace. Earthly parents can withhold acceptance from their kids, not the everlasting Father. He cannot reject you. He cannot turn his back on you. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Jesus is everlastingly accepting of you. As the everlasting Father, God is eternally available to you. Earthly parents can be lousy listeners. Has your child ever said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," or "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy"? And you may be tempted to say, you don't have to say it 1,000 times. Once is enough. Well, maybe not. We parents get so preoccupied with life and its demands that we sometimes fail to listen to the needs of our kids. Not the everlasting Father. You never have to beg for his attention. You'll never be ignored by everlasting Father. He's never too busy for you. He never sleeps. He never takes a day off. He never goes on vacation. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Jesus is everlastingly available to you. As the everlasting Father, God is eternally caring toward you. Even earthly parents can sometimes fail to understand your feelings. They can even crush your spirit, not your Father in heaven. When you disappoint him, and you will, we all do, he doesn't look for ways to get even, but rather to show you mercy. When heartache and trouble find you, he takes note of every tear and every sigh. He's there when you feel like giving up. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? Give all your worries and cares to God, it says, for he cares about you. Jesus is everlastingly caring towards you. As the everlasting Father, God is eternally forgiving of you. We easily forget how much we need forgiveness. We overestimate our own goodness, don't we? And we underestimate God's holiness. And no doubt we offend God every day with our attitudes, our thoughts, what we do, what we fail to do. But in Jesus and because of Jesus, God is constantly offering and providing forgiveness. There was a father whose son was just constantly getting into trouble. And every effort to get this young man to change seemed futile. Finally, one of the father's friends, seeing the pain caused by this son, said, "You know, if that were my son, I'd wash my hands of him." And that father answered, "If he were your son, so would I. But he's my son." That's a father. That's a father. And that's what God is like. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Jesus is everlastingly forgiving of you. And as the everlasting Father, God is eternally generous toward you. God has a way of blessing people who don't deserve blessing and haven't earned it. You're in that group, by the way, so am I. Perhaps your earthly parents were tightwads, stingy, miserly. You know, your heavenly Father is very different. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, what? Generously, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Jesus is everlastingly generous toward you. As the everlasting Father, God is everlastingly joyous and joyful because of you. Did you know that God is always in a good mood? Sometimes earthly parents can be grouchy, gloomy, just about impossible to live with. Once a lady was asked, "Did you wake up grouchy this morning?" And she answered, "No, I'm going to let him sleep in." Your Heavenly Father is always glad to see you. He's always full of kindness and love toward you. Did you know that God delights in you? Well, what does the Bible say about everlasting Father? Boy, this is a wonderful verse. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." Imagine God rejoicing over you. Jesus is everlastingly joyful because of you. And then finally, as the everlasting Father, God is eternally faithful towards you. Earthly parents sometimes fail their kids. They make promises they don't keep or fail to be there when they're needed. But the Bible is careful to declare that faithfulness is one of our Heavenly Father's greatest attributes. God will never break any promise he's made. My friend, he's promised to forgive your sins and make you his child. He kept that promise. He promises to guide you through every mountain and valley in your life's journey. God is keeping that promise today. And he has promised that one day he will take you to live with him in your new and eternal home. And God will keep that promise. What does the Bible say about everlasting Father? "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Jesus is everlastingly faithful towards you. Nicholas was in kindergarten. And as Christmas approached, it was just a wonderful time to be a six-year-old. And he had been practicing for weeks several songs that his school was going to perform at a winter pageant. And Nicholas's father, John, was concerned because he was not going to be able to attend the presentation. He had to work. He was obligated to work that particular night. He heard from Nicholas's teacher that there was going to be a dress rehearsal the morning of the presentation. And if there were any parents that could not make the presentation in the evening, they could come to this dress rehearsal. Well, fortunately, that seemed to be an acceptable compromise to Nicholas. Now, John the father wasn't really expecting a great deal out of this presentation because, as you know, public schools have become somewhat concerned about referring to the holiday as Christmas. And he just kind of expected, you know, a sort of fun and commercialized form of entertainment, songs about reindeer and Santa and snowflakes and good cheer. Have you noticed, though, that God the Father has this way of breaking through and breaking into whatever we want to do to kind of shut him out and leave him out? John was a little surprised to see the title of the song that Nicholas's class was singing. The song was called "Christmas Love." Christmas Love. And all of the classes and the grades were there. They were all sitting kind of cross-legged on the floor until it was their turn to go up to the platform and sing their songs. And then it became Nicholas's class's turn. And they walked up to the platform, and oh, Nicholas was just aglow, as were his classmates. They were all decked out in their costume, you know, with fuzzy mittens and red sweaters and little snow caps that they had on, colorful snow caps, and they were all ready to sing. And they were going to sing this song, and it was one of those songs where you hold up a letter for each part of the words that you're spelling out until you spell out the title of the song that you're singing. So there was this row of kids on the front of the platform, and they began to sing Christmas Love. And they sang, C is for Christmas. And one child held up the letter C. And then they sang, H is for happy. And another child held up the letter H. And then there was R and I and S and so forth. Now, this dress rehearsal performance was going along well until they got to the little girl who was supposed to hold up the letter M in Christmas. And when she held it up, she held it upside down so that the letter M became the letter W. And all of the older students began to chuckle and snicker and laugh at this mistake. You know, the little girl had no idea she was being laughed at. She was just standing there tall as she could be, just proud of the fact that she was in the program. And the snickering and the giggling and so forth continued until they got through with the entire title. And then there was kind of a hush that fell on that assembled group of students and teachers and parents. Because when they saw the whole title, they suddenly realized why they were there and what was the reason for the season anyway. Because it spelled out, Christ was love. God, the everlasting Father, has this way of breaking into your life and mine. And not even the public school system can stop it. Or the government. Or life. Or you. Or me. And this everlasting Father wants you to know Him deeply as Father. He wants you to experience Him eternally as Father. And He has made that relationship possible for you and for me through the person of His Son, Jesus the Christ. Christ was love. And He still is. What child is this? His name is Everlasting Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for the opportunity to hear wonderful music, to have our hearts thrilled by not just the sounds of the season and the songs of the season, but by the message that they convey. Lord, it is all about You. It is all about the wonderful opportunity to become Your children by the giving of Your Son as a gift at Christmas, Jesus the Christ. Father, if there is anyone here today that has not put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ yet, may they make that decision to trust in Jesus, and then by doing so, knowing and receiving You as their Father forever. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.